talk this morning is pretty straightforward. During the last 9 years or so, my colleagues and I have been trying to develop cotton germplasm that has a high level of root-knot nematode resistance that has better yield of fiber quality than the previously existing highly resistant cotton germplasm. So today I just want to show you what we've come up with after all this time. Now, as I'm sure most of you know, root-knot nematodes cause greater yield loss than any other single pathogen in the U.S. That's why this is such an important problem for a number of groups that have been working on for a long time. The estimates are that it causes almost 2.5% loss to the U.S. cotton crop, which doesn't sound like a whole lot until you realize that that's over 230 million pounds of rent that's lost. And of all of the disease losses to any pathogen, including bole rot, fusarium wilts, everything, root-knot nematodes cause about a quarter of all of the losses caused by any pathogen in the U.S. So this is a pretty big deal. Now, highly resistant germplasm has actually been around for quite a long time, several decades. It really started with the Auburn 623 material. That was used to develop the Auburn 634 line, which was used to develop the M120 line, which has been out for, I think, around 20 years or so at this point. Very highly resistant germplasm lines, M120 and its sister lines, were pretty good agronomically for their time. But at this point, they're really sort of obsolete. They're just too old, not kept up with what we have now. So we wanted to improve on that. That was our goal. So like I said, we were just trying to develop some modern germplasm that had improved yield of fiber quality and a very high level of root-knot resistance. Okay, so we started back in 2001. We crossed M120 as our resistant parent with germplasm line PD94042, which is susceptible to root-knot nematodes, but has good yield and very good fiber quality properties. We used a single seed descent method rather than bulking seed from the field, just because that gives us a lot greater control over what we carry forward to the next generation. We started with three generations of backcrossing into the PD94042, the susceptible line. At each generation, we were selecting for the most resistant plants, and that's what we carry forward for the next generation of backcrossing. But after three generations of backcrossing, we figured we should have something that had the resistance genes but was pretty much similar to the susceptible parent and all other characteristics of that parent. So then we had eight generations of self-pollination and individual plant selection, and we really didn't expect it to take that many generations, but because root-knot resistance is a multigenic trait, it's at least two genes, possibly more than that. There's still a lot of work ongoing there. The plants just seemed to keep segregating in each generation over and over. So it took us eight generations to get to a point where we felt like the plants were no longer segregating. Now, one thing we did that was a little bit different, just to simplify our lives, was we had an early screening technique in each generation, and that reduced the number of plants that we had to carry through and collect seed from by about 75%, so it really simplified our lives. Basically, all we did there was do individual plants in the greenhouse, all of this breeding time in the greenhouse that we built up two generations a year. We would inoculate these individual seedlings with root-knot nematodes. After about two generations of the nematodes, we would evaluate the plants. We'd dig up the plants, look at galling on the roots, stain the roots to look for egg masses, and the ones that seemed to be the most resistant, we would repot and allow to continue growing. And those were the ones we would carry forward to collect seed from. We would also do another evaluation after we harvested seed off of the plants, and we could further reduce the number of plants at that point. Because some of the ones that looked somewhat resistant early on ended up being obviously less resistant at the end of it. Now, when we repotted these plants, it was extremely stressful to the plants. Generally, what happened is we repot them. As you can see in this picture, all the leaves would fall off. They look like they're dead or dying. After about 2 weeks, most of the plants would start to send out new growth and recover. about 90% of the plants would recover, about 10% of the plants would go ahead and die. But still, as stressful as this was, it was still a very useful technique for reducing the total number of plants that we had to deal with. Okay, well, after our 8 generations of selfing and evaluation of resistance, we decided we had something that was worth taking to the field for field evaluations. And in 2007, we had one field in root knot nematode infested field. In 2008, we had 2 sites that were in nematode infested fields and 2 sites that were not infested with root knot nematodes. We have a field from 2009 as well, but I don't have that data, so I'm not presenting it to you yet. For standards, in the root knot fields, we use M120, which is the resistant parent that we use as our source of resistance. And we also use the susceptible standards. We had Delta Prime 847 and Fibermax 966, which are both very good cultivars that are grown in our area, but they're both very susceptible to root knot nematodes. Okay. Looking at root galling first, on a 0 to 10 scale, where 0 is no galling, 10 would be 100% of the root system covered with galls. Again, one field in 2007, 2 fields in 2008, when we have 2 fields in a year, that data is pooled for ease of presentation here. You can see that the Georgia 120 R1B3, which is the name that we've been using for this germplasm we've developed, had very low galling, equal to that of the resistant parent, M120, and greatly reduced compared to the susceptible standards, the Delta Pine and Fibermax pines. That was true in both 2007 and 2008, very consistent, so we're very pleased with that. Looking at yield, which of course is a very important thing here, the Georgia 120 R1B3 and root knot infested fields consistently had greater numerical yields, but it didn't statistically separate out from M120 and at least one of the susceptible lines. So in 2007, it had greater numerical yield than the Delta Pine line, but statistically it would separate from it. And in 2008, that was reversed. It was statistically greater than the Delta Pine line, but not statistically greater than the Fibermax line. But numerically, it was consistently greater yield than the M120 line. So, you know, we feel like there really was something there. And with the limited number of replications we have, I think that's why we failed to separate statistically. We had 20 replications, you know, perhaps that consistency would have translated into a statistical difference. And the non-infested fields, which we wanted to do because we wanted to be sure that whatever we came up with, that there wasn't some sort of significant yield or fiber quality penalty involved in incorporating resistance into this line. In the non-infested fields, we found that the Georgia 120 R1B3 was statistically similar to both of our susceptible cultivars, so we're pretty pleased with that as well. Now looking at lint fraction or percent lint, in the infested fields in 2007 and in 2008, our germplasm line GA120 R1B3 had significantly greater percent lint than the resistant parent N120. So, you know, we feel like we made some improvements there. And it was statistically similar to the susceptible standards that we had in those fields. In 2007, it was statistically similar to the Delta Pine line, but greater than Fibermax. In 2008, it was actually greater than the Delta Pine and Fibermax lines for percent lint. Okay, in the non-infested field, that trend also held true, that we had a statistically greater percent lint in our germplasm line than in the susceptible standards. So that was a nice surprise. And that's a contribution from the PD9402 susceptible parent we used. And it has very good fiber quality properties, and that's where that came from. Okay, looking at micronaire, which is one of the key components of fiber quality and one that we have problems with in Georgia, where we often have high micronaire cotton, we found that Georgia 120 R1B3 consistently had significantly lower micronaire values than the M1. So we believe we made a significant improvement there. And micronaire values of GA120 R1B3 were generally equal to the susceptible cultivars we used for standards. And that was true in the infested and non-infested fields as well. Now looking at fiber length, which is one of the other key components of fiber quality, we found that the GA120 R1B3 generally had very good fiber length. It was consistently, statistically greater than M120 apparently started with. So again, we really made some significant improvements there. And fiber length was generally equal to, sometimes a little greater than, the susceptible cultivars we were using standards. Okay, so to summarize this, the germplasm line that we developed, Georgia 120 R1B3, suppresses Molybdenum incognita as well as the existing highly resistant germplasm. But our germplasm line has longer fiber length, lower micronair, and greater length fraction than the existing highly resistant germplasm. And it had consistently numerically greater yields, but as I said, they didn't really separate out statistically, so we have to look careful about what we find there. Now, the yield and fiber quality of GA120 R1B3 is similar to or better than the susceptible cultivar standards that we used in both nematode infested and non-infested yields. So our conclusion is we believe that this germplasm line, Georgia 120 R1B3, is a significant improvement over existing highly resistant germplasm lines. And we think that this is going to be something that's going to be very useful to breeders who want to develop resistant cultivars for the market. With that, if you have questions, I'll be happy to try and address them. We are in the process of preparing a release. We anticipate submitting that this spring, so the next few months that will get submitted. We have not planted this in the uniform field. That's certainly something to look for. There is absolutely no reason to think that this is going to have any resistance to uniform. How severely it's damaged by uniform remains to be seen. Probably like any other type of cultivar. Yes. I like, the question was the Gall rating scale we used, 0 to 10 scale. Other people use other scales, sometimes 0 to 5 or 1 to 5. I like the 0 to 10 for several reasons. One is it gives you more divisions. The other is it's a simple scale just based on percentage of the root system that's Gall. So it's not really a classification. It's not class data. It's a linear scale, so it's just easier to deal with.
If you have questions at this time, I think you can ask them in the hall on time, and we can go into the next presentation. Thank you.